chapter 14. Maniac loved his new life. He loved his new sneakers, the ones Mrs. Beale bought for him. He loved the new quietness of his footsteps as he trotted bow wow through the early morning streets. He loved the early morning, the before working people time, he called it, when even those who went to work the earliest were still sleeping behind their second story shades. When it seemed as if the whole world had been created just before he woke up on his bedroom floor, the red brick rows of houses, even the windows resting from faces, the cool, silent sidewalks and streets, so quiet you could hear the water running far below the sewer grates while the sun shined up the rain spouts. He loved the silence and solitude, but he also loved the noise, which came later in the day. He loved the sound of pancake batter hissing on the griddle. He loved the noise of the church they went to on Sunday mornings, a church called Bethany, when the minister would thump on the pulpit and the people would call out, "Amen," and the choir would swing this way and swing that way and sing, "Hallelujah," to the people, and the people would sing, "Hallelujah," right back to the choir. And everyone just got happier and happier, and it all made him want to do more than run. So one day, he just jumped himself up onto the pew bench and threw his arms to the sky and shouted at the top of his lungs, "Hallelujah! Amen!" And this time, nobody looked funny at the crazy kid yelling by himself. Then two members of his own family, Hester and Lester, jumped onto the bench with him and shouted away, "Hallelujah! Amen!" And everybody laughed and clapped and sang. He loved the 4th of July block party, when the whole East End converged for a day and night for games and music and grilled chicken and ribs and sweet potato pie and dancing until the last firecracker and then some. Maniac loved the colors of the East End, the people colors. For the life of him, he couldn't figure why these East Enders called themselves black. He kept looking and looking, and the colors he found were ginger snap and light fudge and dark fudge and acorn and butter rum and cinnamon and burnt orange, but never licorice, which to him was real black. He especially loved the warm brown of Mrs. Beale's thumb as it appeared from under the creamy white icing that she allowed him to lick away when she was frosting his favorite cake. He loved joining all the colors at the vacant lot and playing the summer days away, stickball, basketball, football. Half the time, he forgot to go home for lunch. One day, a new kid, tall and lean, came to the vacant lot spinning a football. He spotted Maniac and stopped cold. He came closer, bent over, stared. Then he broke open a billboard grin and called out, "Hey, everybody! Remember I said about the little white dude snatched the pass off me in gym class? Here he is! This is the dude!" And this, of course, was Hands Down. The first thing Hands did when they chose up sides was to pick Maniac for his team. "You crazy Hands," a high schooler laughed. "He's just a runt. His peach fuzz ain't even come in yet." Everybody laughed. But Hands took him away and played quarterback and threw passes to Maniac all day long. They huddled and scratched their plays in the dirt, down to the tin can and break for the goal, stop and go at the rock, curl around the junked tire. If Hands' pass was anywhere near Maniac, if Maniac could get at least two fingertips on it, the ball was good as caught. The high schoolers and junior hires went crazy trying to stop him. Nobody kept official records that day, but legend has it that by the time Amanda Beale showed up and called, "Jeffrey, dinner," Maniac had scored 49 touchdowns. And when they played stickball and they saw him pulling the ball out to the street and into backyards, they started putting two and two together. And somebody came to him and squinted in his face and said, "You that maniac, kid?" And somebody else said, "You that maniac?" And pretty soon, everybody was saying it, including Hester and Lester. And finally, in the kitchen one day, as he licked white icing from her thumb, Mrs. Beale said it, "You that maniac?" He told her what he told everyone. "I'm Jeffrey. You know me." Because he was afraid of losing his name, and with it, the only thing he had left from his mother and father. Mrs. Beale smiled. "Yeah, I know you all right. You'll be nothing but Jeffrey in here. But," she nodded to the door, "out there, I don't know." She was right, of course. Inside his house, a kid gets one name. But on the other side of the door, it's whatever the rest of the world wants to call him. Chapter 15. Maniac's fame spread all over the East End. The new white kid, who lived with the Beals at 728 Sycamore, who ran the streets before the fathers went out, who could pollux a stickball like a 12th grader and catch a football like hands down, who was allergic to pizza, who jumped up in Bethany Church and shouted, "Hallelujah! Amen!" Little kids, especially preschoolers, came from all over, bringing him their knots. They had heard about him from Hester and Lester. They had heard he could untie a sneaker knot quicker than a kid could spend a quarter. The bigger kids came too, for other reasons. From Moore Street and Ark Street and Chestnut and Green, heading for the vacant lot to check out the new kid, to test him, to see if everything they'd heard was true, to see how good he really was and how bad. They found out he could do more with the football than just catch it. He could run like a squirrel. He juked and jibed and spun and danced and darted, and he left them squeezing handfuls of air. Pretty soon, the vacant lot was littered with brown sneakers and broken hearts, with blown sneakers and broken hearts. He didn't do much talking, but he didn't have to. Hands down did it for him. Every time he scored a touchdown or cracked a home run, Hands was bent over in his face, talking trash. "Do it, man! Smack them suckers! Poke 'em! Poke 'em! You bad doing it! You the baddest! Give me five, Jude!" And they all high-fived and low-fived and back-fived, and Hands down would laugh and laugh. Maniac loved trash talk. The words were different, but in some strange way, they reminded him of church. It had spirit. It had what they called soul. Pretty soon, he was talking trash with the rest of them. And pretty soon, he brought it home. Mrs. Beale was pressing her famous meatloaf into a baking pan one day when Maniac started talking his trash to her. Her eyes shot open. She straightened up. "What'd you say?" He said some more. At first, she couldn't believe her ears. When she did believe them, she didn't like it. She didn't like this boy bringing the vacant lot into her kitchen, and she didn't like how it fit his mouth. So she put a stop to it right then and there and slapped that trash-talking mouth. Her lips started to quiver before his, but before she could say, "I'm sorry," he was hugging and squeezing her and burying his face in her chest and sobbing, "I love you. I love you." And he loved the quiet times after Hester and Lester went to bed. That's when he read Amanda's books. When he had gone through about half of them, he figured it was time to tackle the Encyclopedia A. Problem was, Amanda was always reading it, and she vowed she wasn't giving it up, not even to Maniac, till she read everything from Aardvark to Aztec. To make matters worse, the supermarket offer had expired, so there were no other volumes. The more Amanda would not let go of the A, the more Maniac wanted it. He reached the point where she had to hide it whenever she wasn't reading it. Unbeknownst to her, Maniac always found it. He would get up even earlier in the morning, read it by flashlight for a while, sneak it back, and go trotting with Bow Wow. And sometimes Maniac just sat at the front window, being on the inside. Maniac loved almost everything about his new life, but everything did not love him back. Chapter 16. McGee was blind, sort of. Oh, he could see objects all right. He could see a flying football or a John McNabb fastball better than anybody. He could see Mars Bar's foot sticking out, trying to trip him up as he circled the bases for a home run. He could see Mars Bar's charging from behind to tackle him, even when he didn't have the football. He could see Mars Bar's bike veering for a nearby puddle to splash water on him. He could see these things, but he couldn't see what they meant. He couldn't see that Mars Bar disliked him, maybe even hated him. When you think about it, it's amazing all the stuff he didn't see, such as big kids don't like little kids showing them up, and big kids like it even less if another big kid, such as Hands Down, is laughing at them while the little kid is faking them out of their Fruit of the Looms. And some kids don't like a kid who is different, such as a kid who is allergic to pizza, or a kid who does dishes without being told, or a kid who never watches Saturday morning cartoons, or a kid who is another color. Maniac kept trying, but he still couldn't see it. This color business. He didn't figure he was white any more than the EastEnders were black. He looked himself over pretty hard and came up with at least 7 different shades of colors right on his own skin. Not one of them being what he would call white, except for his eyeballs, which weren't any whiter than the eyeballs of the kids in the East End. Which was all a big relief to Maniac, finding out he really wasn't really white, because the way he figured, white was about the most boring color of all. But there it was, piling up around him, dislike. Not from everybody, but enough. And Maniac couldn't see it. And then all of a sudden he could.